What's this area called here, this suburb?
Sungai Long. Means Long River.
Sungai is
literally
river.
Okay. Iskon Sungai Long King. Why not? Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasad Mutale Shumati Bhakti Vidanta Swamiliti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Bali Pracharne. Nira Vishesha Shunya Vadi Pastit Yadesh Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shankun Radhakun Giri Gova Dan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dan Ki Sri Mayapur Dan Ki Sri Jagannath Puri Dan Ki Gopremanande Hare Krishna Bhajkapturibhyas Jagripas Sindhar Vyeva Japati Dhanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo. Please excuse me, I'm tired. Very tired. Yes, well, it seems to have become a regular part of our program to come here to KL and then go to BM and then to JB. Well, back to KL, then to JB. Anyway, it's nice, very nice. We were just in Mayapur for approximately 3 weeks, or slightly more, 3 to 4, which was nice, it's always very nice. And a few days, we went out on a couple of days on the parikrama, which is always nice. Yes, so you know, I was out on the parikrama on the 13th. On the 13th of the day. And we went to the place of Simantani Devi. Now, I don't know how familiar any of you are with the layout of Navadweep and that particular place. Who of you remember being at that place? Simantani. Huh?
Simantani is
parting of that. Yeah.
I've been there.
Okay.
You saw me.
At the Jagannath temple? At the Jagannath temple?
Yes, behind Jagannath temple.
Okay. Anyway, there's another place which is the place. That's sort of like a memorial. But the actual place is a few kilometers away. So we were there. And we told that story. And I think it's a very instructive story for all of us that Parvati was with her husband, Lord Shiva, in Kailash. And one morning, she heard him chanting Gauranga. Chanting and chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And he became very emotional. Even more than usual, and usually he's also very emotional, chanting Hare Krishna and so on, names of Krishna himself. But now this time, chanting the name Gauranga, he was much more than usual. And so Parvati asked Lord Shiva, who is this Gauranga? What is this mantra, this Gauranga? What's it all about? And why are you feeling like this? And then Lord Shiva explained that this Gauranga is a very special form of Lord Krishna, very confidential. kind of secret even, undercover form of the Lord. The Lord is known as sometimes as Tri Yuga. He only appears in three of the four yugas, although we understand he appears in all four yugas. But the fourth, Kali Yuga, is undercover, not obvious, and therefore, because it's all very kind of, there's a whole secretive element there in the picture, so therefore it's called Tri Yuga. So anyway, that was just by the way, but Lord Shiva was explaining like this, and he said that shortly the Kali Yuga will begin, and Lord Gauranga will appear in Navadvip Dham, and I want to go there, I want to be there, and I want to see it. So Parvati was extremely attracted, stimulated, inspired very, very deeply that I also want to see this form of the Lord and I want to get his mercy. So what she did, she came down herself on her own to Navadvip Dham, and she went to this place. It's a few kilometers it's a few kilometers from the Jagannath Temple. If you're driving from Mayapur itself, from our temple, it's the next village. I mean the next village, after the Chankazi Samadhi, if that means anything. I mean, if you're familiar enough with the area. And you've got to turn in and go off the road, off the main road. So she came down to this particular area and she started chanting the name Gauranga. And she was chanting and chanting and chanting. And chanting and chanting and chanting, and chanting and chanting and chanting, and chanting even more. She just totally absorbed herself in chanting the name of Lord Gauranga. And Lord Gauranga appeared before her, and she offered obeisances. She was extremely pleased, of course. And she appealed to Lord Gauranga, I want to get your mercy. And Lord Gauranga said, you have my mercy. You already have my mercy. Yes, you're one of my servants, as a demigod, of course. Parvati is a servant of the Supreme Lord. So he explained like that. You already got my mercy. What more do you expect? And then Parvati explained that I am Durga Devi. And I'm here in this material world. And my service is to keep the conditioned souls entangled in material existence. And you could say, stop them from escaping, from going back to Godhead. And that's not nice. As a devotee, I would like to help them go back to Godhead. But I actually try and stop them. And even, she said, even the devotees who are trying to go back to Godhead, I try to stop them by giving them tests and putting them in difficult situations, and just generally in so many ways trying to discourage them. And the Lord explained that, you know, particularly for the devotees, it's not actually that you're trying to stop them, but you're trying to sort of give them an impetus that we must try harder, because to go back to Godhead, you don't just go back to Godhead just like that. Full surrender has to be there, full dedication, giving one's heart and mind and body and soul to the Lord. Without that, they can't go back to Godhead. And even for the conditioned souls, it's like that. Even though you're smashing them and hurting them and stopping them and just making life difficult for them, it's all part of the same process, that eventually they'll get the idea, what am I doing in this material world? I got to get out of this world. And then they can become devotees. So, but Parvati said, well, that may be, but I feel very bad. I feel very bad doing all of this. And whenever you're present, I feel like sort of hanging back. I don't want to come forward and just associate freely with you. I sort of hang back in the shadows. I feel very embarrassed. And then Lord Gauranga explained, actually, here in Navadvip, you are Yoga Maya. In fact, he said, actually, you are non-different from Srimati Radharani. You're non-different from Radharani. Because here in the Dham, you're presiding over the internal spiritual potency, the Leela Shakti, the pastime, my pastime potency, the Lord explained. So you're very sacred. You're very, very sacred. And here in the Dham, you have that special service of helping the devotees, encouraging them and inspiring them, and helping them directly to go back to Godhead. So don't lament. So, yeah, and he told her, here in Navadvip, you are known as Prouda Maya. And your husband, Lord Shiva, is called Vrida Shiva. Prouda Maya, there's a Prouda Maya deity. If you know Navadvip town, you know where the big banyan tree is? In the center? You can't miss it. And under it, there's this massive banyan tree. Under it are shops.
Yeah.
Inside it. And there's a temple inside, right in this sort of the center. And in there is Prouda Maya. Yeah. And it's a sort of, it's not like a normal deity. It's hard to explain. It's sort of a body. It's almost like a tall bottle, a body with a bit of a neck and then a head, but no face, and usually covered with red, what do they call them? Not kumkum. The flowers, what are they? The flowers that Durga likes. It's not a hyacinth.
Hibiscus,
covered in red hibiscus. Yeah, and then right next door is the temple of Vrida Shiva. So she was inspired when she heard that, and she bowed down and took some dust from the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and put it in her parting, which in Bengal at least, I don't know about elsewhere, it's called Simanta. Simanta. And therefore that island, that part of Navadweep, is called Simanta Dweep. Yeah. So we were just there. It was nice. It was extremely nice. Vishnu Priya is on the, oh well, from Prodamaya. Not far. A few hundred meters down one of the main roads. Yes, so, but the particular point was that I was thinking of, was that Parvati, she really tried hard. When she got inspired, she made a decision, and she came down, and there she was, in Navadweep Dam. But then she really tried hard to chant the name of Gauranga. And she didn't, it's not like she chanted 16 rounds, say, for a month, and then she expected Krishna will appear. A whole month I chanted 16 rounds. Come on, Krishna, where are you? She just carried on, even though apparently nothing happened. But the Lord was watching her, and the Lord was considering what to do and how to do it to look after her and to help her. So in our efforts in devotional service, we... Now, of course, the Lord is a person, and he deals with us differently in different situations and at different times. It's not like mechanical. You just do this, you just get that result. And you just do another thing, you just get another result. It's very personal. But really, what the Lord is looking for, at least one of the very main things, that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for a regular, steady effort to please Him, to serve Him, to please Him, to glorify Him. That's really what He's looking for. Prabhupada would say, we would like to see one moon rather than many shooting stars. We used to say this a little bit when I was a new devotee. A shooting star is like, is a devotee, someone becomes a devotee, and they become very dynamic and they do something. So it's, you know, there's a little prominence there, etc. But then suddenly, maybe they're not even there any longer, or at least they lose that inspiration and enthusiasm, and they can even become like miserable devotees. So we're not really looking for, and the Lord is not looking for, shooting stars. Doing something dynamic for a little while, and then suddenly, you know, for whatever reason, maybe because the Lord apparently is not reciprocating, but for whatever reason, after a little while, losing the enthusiasm and just, yeah, becoming less dedicated in devotional service. So Krishna consciousness, it is more like, in a sense, running a marathon. Have any of you ever done long distance running? Some? Okay. Some of these people, you know, that in some, maybe not a marathon, I don't know, but some of these longer races, they start off very fast and they're out in the front. But then, you know, if it's a long race, after some time they tire and they sort of drift back, and the other more steady devotees, they take the lead. So this is what Sumantini Devi did. She just carried on. And the Lord didn't appear initially, but she didn't become disturbed, distressed. She didn't doubt the Lord. She remained fixed at his lotus feet and fixed in her service of chanting his names. So let's all try and follow in her footsteps in that regard. Because I know sometimes there are challenges. Sometimes there's challenges of different sorts. But what Krishna's really looking for is that sincerity, that come what may, we continue. As they say in the American Army, and Prabhupada mentioned it actually, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So therefore, we want all of you, very sincere devotees, everyone should have some service to do. Everyone should chant their rounds, get up early in the morning, chant their rounds. Please, no chanting rounds while watching Bollywood. I don't know, what's the latest Bollywood, or do they call it Chennai Wood?
Kollywood.
No watching Kollywood. Get up early, chant our rounds nicely in the morning. And then, of course, various of you are working, some of you are not. If you're not, then of course you've got plenty of time. If you're working, okay, that's all right. But just try to use your intelligence to see how you can do service. And when you do service, really try and serve from the heart. Not just like automatic pilot. Like some of you, I think, are cooking for the deities, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah. And I know you're good cooks. I know you're very good cooks. And when you become a good cook, and you're cooking sort of more or less the same things regularly, then it can become like an automatic pilot situation. You can almost close your eyes and just do it. Isn't it? It's definitely like that. But we need to always try to be, you could say, progressive in our devotional service. Like, what is my next step forward? How to move forward from wherever I am now. And moving forward basically means, because we're already chanting 16 rounds, we're already doing some service, in many cases, moving forward means just work on the quality of your chanting and of your service. That when you're chanting, you really try to chant attentively. When you're doing your service, you try to do it very attentively and carefully. And you think how to do it in such ways that it will please Krishna more. You know, like in, I actually mentioned the other day in Mayapur, in Mathura, there's a temple called the Dwarkadish Temple. It's one of the famous old temples. And on Govardhan Puja, they cook no less than 3,000 preparations. Different. And I know some of you ladies are very qualified, are very good, but I know you can't do 3,000 preparations. So, and in other words, even if you're sort of expert in your sphere, there's always room for improvement. Both qualitatively and quantitatively, there's always room for improvement. So I'd like you all to take this as a sort of a message with you. Take it home with you and meditate on it. Dedication on one hand, and then really trying to improve and develop your service qualitatively and quantitatively. Try and do like that and pray to the Lord to help you do like that. And then just see. I predict, if I look into my crystal ball, enzyme tablet. Anyway, if I look into my crystal ball, you know what I see? I see that every single one of you, if you do like this, you try like this, and then you pray to Krishna humbly to help you like this, my prediction is you will see Krishna helping you. And when you see it, you'll know, it'll be very clear, this is Krishna helping. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comment or question from anyone?
Much.
Yeah.
Some say that it's better to do quality offerings than quantity offerings.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Prabhupada liked both. Prabhupada definitely liked both. And there's a conversation in which a devotee asks like that about chanting 16 rounds. You know, that sometimes I'm busy and it's a little difficult to get them done, that sort of idea. And so he asked Prabhupada, wouldn't it be better to do less rounds, but to do them very nicely, rather than trying to do 16, and sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. And Prabhupada's answer was basically that try and do both. And the thing is, if we try our best and if we pray humbly, and if we try to manage our time in constructive ways, then we'll be able to do it. You know, there's a verse somewhere, it says, if you chant the name Krishna purely once, you can become free from the effects of more sins than you could accumulate in an unlimited period of time in this world. So should we just sit there trying to chant Krishna and get it right? No. We should chant our 16 rounds, strategize our time as much as we can. Because, you know, if you do some time management, you'll be surprised. I mean, people, that when they do time management, they're often very surprised how much extra time they find. Is that okay? So both. 16 rounds as nicely as possible.
Does Guru Maharaj say that Krishna will help? One incident which happened just today.
Today?
Today, when I parked my car and I came, so one Prabhu brought one pizza and said, "This is, please take this and offer." So I thought it was for Guru Maharaj. So I said, "Oh, thank you, so nice of you." And I took that pizza and I kept it in the car. So when we are coming out, the president was there. So he asked me, "The pizza you were taking?" I said, "Yeah, I'm taking for my Guru Maharaj." He said, "No. That pizza is for Kutila Mataji."
Just see.
You see, actually the president, we were just coming out and the president was saying something. I told him, "Stop, you're coming." The president is saying something. So I put down the window and then he told me I had to give the pizza back to the guy.
I tell you, I had enough prasadam for 3 or 4 or 5 meals. Another pizza was not required.
I think somebody would tell him to go and give Sachi Mata. So Sachi Mata came and gave me. So I was so happy. I thought it's from Guru Maharaj.
It would have been too much.
That's how Krishna helped him. Just in the nick of time.
Krishna intervened. Okay.
Guru Maharaj, one more question. Guru Maharaj, let's say we are going to enter Devi kitchen, is there any special prayers we have to do? How to do a proper prayers?
For entering the kitchen?
Yeah, before we start, before we start preparing.
I'm sure there are. Do you know
any?
You can jump up and try to prepare your own consciousness.
Well, he's suggesting you can chant Mangala Charana. You know what that means? Om Nigyanata Mirandas, yeah, all those prayers.
Mother Yamuna recommends.
Oh, Mother Yamuna recommends. Before you go into the kitchen to cook for the Lord, chant Mangala Charana. You know what I mean by Mangala Charana? All those prayers. Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, etc., etc., etc. I mean, you're talking about a 10-minute job, 5 minutes. But some prayers like that.
Sometimes our mind sometimes is still right, so you don't have offenses.
Well, good idea to get some focus before you start.
Yes.
To chant some prayers.
I normally chant through mantra and Prabhupada and pray to Radharani, then give me the permission to enter the kitchen.
That's
so I can
good.
Do my service with sincerity, purity, and love and dedication.
Right. That's good. Very good. You know, because Radharani's in charge of the kitchen, you can chant the prayer to Radharani. Yeah. You know how that starts?
Tapta Kanchana
Gaurangi. Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. Vrishabhanu Sute Devi. Pranamami Hari Priya. Pranamami. I offer my pranams. I offer my respects, my prayers. What time are we leaving for?
5:45.
We're leaving. Okay. I've still got a few rounds to do. So, I think I'll check them.
I don't know when you want to ask something.